1300 Nashville Quality Ministries.
Well, praise the Lord again. We are back, One and Messiah Congregation. Kahal Chad B'Mashiach, we come from the Hebrew-Jewish perspective. We are back on the air. Can you believe it? It's been a whole week since we've been here, and another Yom Rishon Sunday. And we had a beautiful Sabbath yesterday of the Lord. We had guests, and we had such a nice time. You know, today is the 26th of August, but we're still in the sixth month of God, the 12th day. And we're trying to introduce you to God's calendar, which is right in the Bible. And we are One of Messiah Congregation, and before we get into this, I'd like to ask the Lord to bless this half hour. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you we could be here this afternoon. We pray you'll pour out your Holy Spirit upon this half hour, Lord, that we're on the air. Open people's hearts, their minds, their souls. Lord, all we desire is the truth, and you said you are the truth, Lord and God. We praise and thank you today. Bless this talk in the mighty name of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, my wife's here and Sister Anne's. Hello.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Yes, shalom. It's been an exciting last couple of weeks, I must be honest. And, of course, there's so many things going on in the news. Unfortunately, Playboy's trying to make the magazine. It's trying to inflict their harm into the universities. And we don't need we don't need Playboy to, you know, put their nonsense and pornography into the schools.
But, you know, it wouldn't even work. Playboy or anybody couldn't do that if our churches and our parents were teaching the Word of God where children knew the truth and knew what to stay away from and what to be drawn to.
Yeah, I bet some of those professors wanted to be there. Yes. Anyway, moving on to, you know, as researching so many subjects, you know, in the past many years and looking things up, I'm to the point where it's time to get back to Bible 101. The basics people are not doing. I mean, I don't even know where to start from. We talk to so many people and they just are, I don't even know if they know what it means to be the salt of the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden unto the foot of men. And they don't like people forget they're supposed to be the light of the world. You know, I mean, your testimony is so important. You can't say one thing and do something else. And
there's a word for that, you know.
What's that, hypocrite?
Yeah, it's called a hypocrite.
And children see that, don't they?
Yes, they do.
You know, tell me, in the last few weeks, my wife and Anne, you guys have talked to some different ladies. What kind of response have you been getting about making a stand for God?
Well, I don't believe anyone makes a stand for God because everybody's got excuses why they don't. You know, if you know something and you don't do it, but yet you blame your husband or your children or your mother or your father or anybody, that's just making an excuse because you can't go up to God, you know, when he judges you and say, oh, so-and-so didn't let me keep your commandments, or I knew to do better, but my husband wouldn't let me. What does the Bible say about that, Anne?
Well, what did James say? James says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen, amen. And remember, there was another, Matthew chapter 8, verse 21, just the regular scenario here. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You know, Jesus says, follow me.
That sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it?
It does. I think, pretty good excuse, you know, when you're thinking of excuses. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead.
Oh, man.
So he said no. That wasn't a good enough excuse.
Well, there's even something a lot more tough than that to women or men or anyone that lets someone else persuade them not to follow the Lord. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14:26, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That doesn't mean you run around hating them, but if anyone tries to turn you from the Lord or tries to keep you from keeping his commandments or stops you, you can't let them because you got to love the Lord first and, of course, fear the Lord.
Right. In the Old Covenant days, we know that if mother, father, or anybody, kids, were to try to get you away from the Lord by following idols or doing anything, something different than what you're taught, you are stoned to death. And the own family would be partakers of the stoning of that person that was trying to
that's
get
right.
you away.
That's right. And that's in Deuteronomy 13, starting on 6. It says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, can you imagine that's your son or your daughter, or your wife, of thy bosom, or thy friend, or your husband, anybody, which as thine own soul, they're just like as yourself, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go after other gods and serve them. Now, these days, it can be anything. If you're not keeping God's commandments, you're keeping somebody else's. Whatever it is that you're doing and not following God, you really are following another god. You know, and like Ann says, what you're supposed to do is, you know, you stone them. Of course, now, of course, you can't stone anybody, but you better make a stand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the least you can do. And you can think how harsh it was during those times. In this time, you definitely make a stand. Remember, this is all goes right in hand with what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household.
Wow.
And this is how you can imagine it would be.
And you know what's interesting about that? Again, that isn't something new. That has actually come from Micah. In Micah, that's amazing. In Micah chapter 6, starting in verse 5, it says, trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide, keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house.
So, hold on a second. Now, wait a minute. You two ladies seem...
Making a stand here.
Reminds me of the prophet Joel that he said in the last days, God would pour out his spirit upon his handmaidens. And they would make a stand. They would prophesy the things that are true. And here we have people... Now, you guys, this isn't your opinions, obviously, because you're just reading the scriptures. And I see the same thing you guys see. And I go to Luke... Brother Luke, chapter 14, verse 20. And, well, I'll even go up a little further and go up to verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time, say to them that were bidden, come to all things that are now, says, all things are now ready. And they with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. And I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray, have me excused. They're all praying to have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant said, and show the Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.
Amen.
You know, it's really a shame, you know, and that's the way it feels. Like it's like we keep inviting people to our congregation. They go to these other churches, and they even tell us that the ministers are preaching heresy. The ministers are preaching things that are not correct.
There's another God there.
Yes, and they still won't leave. What do you guys think of that?
Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Oh.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it.
Praise the Lord. You know, I'm so happy that, you know, our congregation... We all use Bible verses, so we can never, you know, we're not giving you our opinion, but it just makes us excited when people know to do good and do it not. It is sin.
You know, and the Bible does say to obey your husband, but you obey God first. He says, I'm married to you.
Well, you just read
it. He's your first husband, right. If your husband tells you to do something against God, you do not obey him.
Of course not.
You make a stand for the Lord, you have to develop a backbone.
Right.
You got to have a backbone for the Lord, you know.
What is chaste conversation? Mm-hmm. So he's going to be looking at you for chaste conversation, and you should be standing up for that reasoning.
What
that
kind
is
of
chaste conversation? And if you're wishy-washy and you know it, and he sees that you're not doing it, what are you showing him? If you're showing you really don't believe.
Well, what kind of message does that send to the children?
They think you're wishy-washy.
You're saying that the preacher is telling a bunch of lies, but you would keep going there, Mom. Like, what's up with that?
Yeah, I mean, you're not keeping the commandments because somebody's not letting me.
Well, I have a funny feeling this is all because of prestige. It's all because they want to be seen by some of these giant churches here in Franklin and Brentwood, Tennessee. And, you know, they might come across and say they're PhDs, they're engineers, they developed, nuclear, whatever they did, you know, whatever big-time careers they got. Hey, I'd rather be just one of the fishermen and obey the Lord. Those fishermen, the Lord said, follow me. They just dropped everything. Matthew and Andrew and Peter, they didn't go, I got to do everything else.
Amen. That disciple that we talked about just a moment ago, he did follow Jesus, by the way. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Right, he didn't
follow me. Yeah. Walk as the Lord. How did the Lord walk?
You know, we are One in Messiah congregation. You can get on our website anytime. That's oneinmessiah.net. oneinmessiah. We're just people that are quoting the scriptures, and we're repeating to you real life
scenarios
that take place every week. People that say one thing, do another. People that quote scriptures. They don't even quote scriptures. They give a Bible teaching, and the scriptures are all wrong. And I always tell people the basics are needed again. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, Paul was telling the Thessalonians, prove all things. That's another way of saying that is, where does it say that in the Word? Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good.
That's right. You have to have foundation. You have to have the basics wherever you go, the very basic, and yet you're going to find few places that have this. Do you have a place that actually keeps all Ten Commandments?
That would probably be the...
That's just the basic.
The basics, yeah. Rule of thumb would be... Basic. If your church isn't keeping the Ten Commandments, that's to start off with. I wouldn't even go there.
That's right. And if they don't know about the Feast of the Lord... And by the way, we're going to need to start talking about that because we're in the middle of the sixth month. The first day of the seventh month is the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. And you say, what does that have to do with me as a believer? Everything.
Well,
it's about the second coming of Messiah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah,
amen. That's
everything.
Right. You know, we come from, even though I always say we come from a Jewish-Hebrew perspective, we're just coming right out of the Bible. We're not telling you anything that you can't read yourself. This is the problem. A lot of people, I think, are just flat out lazy. And God gave you one book to read in your lifespan. When the Bible says, Paul says right here, he says, to study to show yourself approved unto God. Paul was telling Timothy. Now, I mean, you can't say at the end when you meet the Lord, well, see, God, my pastor or my rabbi or my shrink or wherever you go, husband, they didn't tell me it says that there's feasts of the Lord and God has his own calendar. And nobody told me about this. Ten commandments? I thought there was nine. I didn't
even know where they were. Most people can't tell you where they are in
the
Bible.
Well, today I did a class and I asked a group of people, must have been 70 or 80. Actually, you made 70 more pamphlets and I had 30, so that's like 100 and whatever.
20.
100.
Oh, 100.
That's 100.
There were still people that didn't get a pamphlet.
Right, and there's people that still didn't get one. And out of the whole group, only two people knew where the Ten Commandments were. I mean, think about that. It's supposed to be Christian America.
But they think that's the Old Testament.
I thought the Ten Commandments, this is what this country was founded on. I mean, it's in a lot of the courts, actually. And everything is so gone. Everything is so erased and diluted. And now it's just the messages that are given are just this pep talk, feel-good message.
You know, maybe that's why they're fighting so much to keep it into the state buildings, because they sure don't want it in their house. Well, you know, you tell them to keep the commandments and say, you don't have to keep the commandments. I can't keep the commandments. Nobody can keep the commandments.
Well, I see that, you know, the Bible says in Psalms, it says, Psalms 16:4, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god.
Amen.
And, you know, there's so many other gods. Some people, they might think that they're being blessed and, they just, you know, the devil is giving them, like, more wealth than you could imagine. Mm-hmm. But at the end, their soul is dry and it's starving. And they never fed it. And they never even, it says they didn't even seek God or even desire to be with him.
I see that there's a lack of fear of the Lord.
Oh, the fear of the Lord.
The Lord, yeah.
People will fight you all day about the fear of the Lord.
That means
but
reverence.
You reverence him. No, you better fear him.
What would happen? Reverence. Hey, if God showed up right now, would you be going, I love you? Or what would happen if he showed up right now?
I think I would melt right
down
there.
I'd faint.
Yeah.
I'd be so fearful.
I would.
People think it's, oh, he's my daddy. No.
If Moses quaked and David quaked and feared,
right, exactly.
Who are we?
Apostle Paul, I mean, I read in Acts where he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men.
Wow.
That's a lot. I mean, he's like, whoa, I better get out there and tell somebody.
But the churches have taken out judgment, too. There is judgment. And all the judgments are, Paul said in Romans 1, knowing the judgment of God. Those that do these things are worthy of death. And he didn't know what's special. It's been written, you know, in Exodus 21 to 23 and Leviticus 20. They're there for you to see his judgments. So you don't have to guess.
Amen.
Yeah.
And God is holy. And he expects us to be holy. You know, Jesus himself, be perfect. Therefore, my Father in heaven is perfect. You know, holy and knowing and understanding of his word. Absolutely.
No, I do see on the look of some young people when I say holy, they look like they like that. Make a difference in the world. I've seen some faces today. It looks like they light up, you know, be holy. Because that's never talked about. Holy. I mean, the world has erased everything. I mean, they want to put Playboy into the universities. Like, we need that. Come
on.
Shame. I mean,
well,
it's an abomination.
The world is going in that direction because people have been, it's in their mind to be sexy. Well, sexy, if you want to be dressed like a hooker and be thought of as a hooker, go ahead and do that. But you could, to be respected, you would never do such a thing. If you really want
to
be respected.
To be counted.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's because the Bible says for the older women to talk to the younger women and teach them to be in all purity and sobriety.
Amen.
But what older women are keeping the commandments that you know of?
Yeah, that's
the mothers dress a lot like their daughters.
Yes, that's true.
So it's really coming from the parents, right?
I mean, how many mothers keep the commandments that you know?
Not too many.
I don't think I know any, actually. My mother passed away. She was keeping the commandments. That's about it. Do you know anybody, mothers that are keeping the commandments?
The amazing thing about Angela's mother is...
Isn't that sick?
She didn't read the Bible until she was 80. She was Catholic. But, yeah.
My wife's a mother.
I'm a mother.
Right, thank you.
I guess I am. Yeah, you're right. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
I meant other than you.
Right. But Angela's mother... she was Catholic, and she finally started reading the Bible at 80 years old. Remember the parable Jesus told about, you know, working for, you know, the 11th hour? Even the 11th hour, if you start the 11th hour, you get the same reward. She read the commandments. She didn't even know where they were. She had never read them in the Bible. But when she read them, she knew they were true.
Amen.
And started, she didn't doubt it, kept it, like a child.
Yes, well,
like a child.
Once you hear the truth, you know, it does ring home to some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really starting to believe that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 17, it could be talking about these people in some of these churches, too. Here's what it says. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? What concord had the Messiah, Christ, with Belial? And what part had the believer with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. As the God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore, God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
That's right.
And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be to you a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty.
Amen.
Well, I'm talking to the church people. Come out of there and join the people of God that keep the commandments.
What goes right with it, Mark chapter 8 again, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Amen. Right. Oh, what would you exchange for your soul?
I know. Anything? Some people.
Nothing.
You know, that's a horrible
thought.
When
you think of it like that.
You can't even.
What could you possibly give for eternal life?
I know.
You know, faith is definitely in this. Because, yes, what we're saying is tough, hardcore in ways. Because we're talking about families here. Variance against mother and father and daughter. This is extremely tough. But we must have faith in this, even in this issue.
Right. You know, there was this last week, there was a series on TV called Christian, the God's Warriors. We're God's warriors. Make a stand for God.
Those were three different gods.
Yeah. We don't believe in those kind of gods. There's only one God, the God of Israel.
Amen.
There's not the God, all these other gods.
Allah is not our God.
Of course not.
Absolutely not.
And neither is the Jesus. There's so many Jesuses out there. How many? Which one? The Catholic Jesus? The Jingle Bells Jesus? The Easter Jesus? Which Jesus do you got? We got the God of Israel, the Yeshua. The real Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Word of God made flesh.
What we're talking about is, with different Jesuses, is this. If I were to write on a chalkboard what I believe my God is, who I believe he is, it would be totally different than many churches, that many churches would say it is.
Well, all I could say is there's too many Jesuses. And if you try to talk about that with people, and even in our neighborhood, there's over 2,000 churches, and they all disagree with each other.
That's right, different Jesuses.
Right. Apostle Paul says this in the epistles, and he says this also in the book of Acts. You know, it says different places, different gospels, different Jesuses. And how much more since that time? Here we are almost 2,000 years later. There's probably gazillions of different Jesuses running around. That means, and it all stems also, what I'm getting at is there's so many versions of the Bible, so many words of God, and there's too many. You need to get the real Word of God in English called the King James Version. Throw away those NIVs, throw away those New King Jameses, throw away the...
But they're going to say that they're easier to read.
Yeah, but the Bible says there is a preserved word. We can know that. So we must do the study. We must find out which one that is.
Oh, well, study to show yourself approved again.
That takes work. You're going to have to go read. The Bible says to go read. Take the book of the Lord and read, it says. Not one of these things shall fail. That's what you're supposed to do, but I don't think people are interested in really knowing the truth. They go to church on Sunday, and I talked to some people today, and they didn't even remember what the pastor said last Sunday. I mean, they don't even know what he's talking about.
It was a good thing, though, because they told them not to fear the Lord.
I'm happy.
So that was a very good
thing. I'm happy they didn't remember, too. Supposed to fear the Lord all the day long, and not just when you seek the Lord when you first meet him. You know, we are One of Messiah congregation, and we're just a little excited here because of the people we meet and the experiences we go through during the week. And we just love the Lord. We can't understand why people aren't doing what we're doing. And we're just simply reading the Bible. It's not some magic trick or some kind of wisdom we got above you. Just get your Bible and read it. You'll see that there's names for the months of God in the Bible. You'll see there's feasts of the Lord. You'll see that there's things that are clean and unclean, holy and profane. You'll see that Jesus is a Jewish man. He's not from Texas or Tennessee, but he's from Israel. I mean, we're telling you simple Bible things. Bible 101.
But the problem comes in is that most pastors tell their people only to read the New Testament books. And that is totally wrong because Jesus didn't have a New Testament books.
Those were just letters they wrote to churches.
Yeah, the foundation's in the Torah. Yeah, the foundation is in the Torah. That's where the commandments are. That's where the judgments are. That's where the ordinances are.
Well,
And teaches you about the Messiah, the atonement.
Well, if people looked at it correctly, the four Gospels are the accounts of the Lord, his ministry, his life, death, and resurrection. And then there's the account of the book of Acts, how that all took place, the baptism of the Holy Ghost from the prophet Joel. And then after that, you got all the letters. They're just letters to the churches of men keeping the scriptures. That's why they're called scripture. And then, of course, you got Revelations, which there's 50,000,000 interpretations of that, which people are going to give account for. I'd rather say we'll wait and see. But What I'm trying to say is everyone kept the Torah. Everyone kept the Tanakh. And if you don't know what that means, we'd be glad to explain it to you.
I was just thinking, as I was reading this verse in Matthew 5, how strong this is. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So what about that one person that's trying to get you away from not keeping the commandments?
That sounds
like
your
body, you know?
That also sounds like what you're saved from.
What are you saved from?
Oh man, what's the other scripture say there? You have the other verse that goes with that?
For if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee.
Why?
For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell.
Really? Oh no.
Fear him.
Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Wow. I mean, Jesus said that 3 times in the book of Mark, chapter 9. I wonder if people really believe
Jesus.
But
again, he's quoting himself in Isaiah, is he not?
Yes, Isaiah 66.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not telling you anything different than the apostles are. We're not telling you anything different than the prophets are. We're not telling you anything different than Jesus is saying. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
You know, one thing I've noticed is a lot of people carry just the New Testament books, but they also carry Psalms and Proverbs. Now, I find it difficult to believe they must read that, because when they read what David says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. How he delights in the law of God and over again, especially
right,
if you read
amen.
Psalm 119. How can you read that and think that anything's changed?
Then you got all the Protestant ministers saying there's no law. How could that be when they read it?
But sin is the transgression of the law.
That's what John said. So I don't know. I don't know. The Lord must have something planned, because it says in Revelations there's an innumerable company of nations that end up serving the Lord. And, of course, there's the remnant of Jews that are saved. And, you know, we are one of Messiah congregation. We would love for you to come to the New Hope Community Church. We would love for you to come there. And that is at 605 Wilson Pike. Wilson Pike, right in Brentwood, Tennessee, on Saturday at 12 o'clock. Saturday at 12 o'clock, you are personally invited. Sister Ann is going to start doing what? Israeli dancing?
Mm-hmm. Israeli dancing. Everyone's invited.
Praise the Lord. And, we have music, we have singing, and we have study. We get together at the New Hope Community Church. We don't go to that church. We just happen to have a room in there. And we are Jews and Gentiles that believe in the Messiah, but we're all Israel.
So if you want to follow the Messiah and walk in his footsteps,
amen.
First of all, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one that created it. He's the one that told you to keep it, and he made it for you so that you know of him. So why don't you just try it once?
You know,
just spend one whole Saturday from Friday night at sunset to Saturday night at sunset, only for the Lord, nothing else.
I promise that the Word of God will absolutely take on a true understanding. Because I know right now, with what we do know, some of us, what we do know, it doesn't match up. But if after coming on one Sabbath, I bet everything will start to, some things will start to really add up. It'll really make sense.
I could tell you guys a sentence that's really sort of problematic. You know, I hear people say all the time how they love Israel. But you're supposed to be Israel. That's like saying love yourself.
They don't want to be Israel.
Right.
They want to love the country Israel, but they don't want to be the Israel of God.
Well, how many bodies is there?
One.
How many lords?
One.
How many faiths?
One.
How many baptisms?
One.
How many gods?
And who was the new covenant given to?
Oh, does anyone know that question out? Answer out there?
Israel.
Of course.
So you better be Israel. Where
does it say that in the Word?
It says it in Hebrews 8:8, but it comes from Jeremiah 31:31.
I'm telling you, see,
mm-hmm.
We study to show ourselves approved, everyone. We are one of Messiah congregation. We don't want to, the reason we're like this, and we don't want to be tricked. We want to make sure we know the Word.
Amen.
No one can come and tell us something that's not in the Word, because, hey, if we don't remember something, we would be glad to look it up. I mean, we're just people just like you, nothing special.
And don't remain a Gentile. The Gentiles of the nations that don't know God. We come out of the Gentiles and join the Israel of God and keep God's commandments, keep his feast days, learn of him. And please call. If you want to talk about this, call us at 615-591-9000. 9820.
Yeah,
anytime.
And if there's any ladies out there, we have sisters here, and my wife, another sister. They'll be glad to talk to you. I like to talk to the men. Call us. You know, we come and see us. 615-591-9820, or go down our website, oneofmessiah.net, or come live on Saturday at 12 o'clock right at the New Hope Community Church in Brentwood. We're invited.
Amen. Bring the whole Bible with you.
And get out of churches that you know the pastors are preaching things that are incorrect, not scriptural. We say, make a stand for God. I praise the Lord we could be here. Sha'alu, shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.